Each Sunday in the Gospel of John, we are talking about Jesus. Thank you so much for helping me remember that. That's good. And today we're going to talk about this truth that he is offering. And guess what? It sets us free. Anybody want some freedom today? So let's turn to God's Word, John 8. We're going to look at verses 31 through 38 in our scripture reading today, John chapter 8. And try to put yourself into a conversation with Jesus 2,000 years ago. Try to put yourself into a dynamic of people in the temple area that are wanting to learn God's word. That's why they're there. They're wanting to connect with God. And I believe that maybe you are here for the same reason. You want to learn and you want to connect with God. And so then Jesus begins to speak with great power. We have the privilege of reading his words. Let's stand together. John 8, beginning with verse 31. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth." And, let's say it out loud, "the truth will set you free." They answered him, "We are offspring of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free?" Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The Son remains forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. I know that you are offspring of Abraham, yet you seek to kill me because my word finds no place in you. I speak of what I have seen with my father, and you do what you have heard from your father." Father in heaven, thank you for being our father. By grace, we are saved. By your grace, you declare that we are children of God as we believe in Jesus. There are some in this room, Lord God, that have experienced firsthand this verse, "the truth shall make you free." There are some in this room that could testify and declare that in Christ Jesus there is freedom. There are some in this room that are seeking for that freedom. The freedom from bad choices, hurts, habits, hang-ups. The freedom from guilt. The freedom from wrong thinking, wrong living, the freedom of regrets. Lord God, in this place, we want to experience the power of your word. The truth shall set us free. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Please be seated. Well, this word freedom is an amazing word. In the United States of America, people have come all over the world because they want to come to a place where there is freedom. We are blessed as a country that we have the freedom to worship and the freedom to bear arms and the freedom of speech. And so we appreciate that very much in the United States of America. We also have, because of that, the freedom to be stupid, to make wrong choices, and to believe things that are not true. Do we not? I mean, we have that freedom. Some people, when they want freedom, they mean this. They want to have the freedom to do what I want to do. Anybody have a teenager in the house that has ever said that? I want freedom. I can't stand this oppression of parents telling me what to do. I want freedom to be whatever I want to be. You say that to your boss and he'll say, "There's the door. Have some time with freedom." The freedom maybe to live whatever way I want to live. And people in the United States, we do have that freedom. Interesting story. July 7th, Jimmy Causey. I think I have a picture of Jimmy. He was desperate to be free. You might have heard this story. I got a friend, we believe, that had a drone that dropped some wire clippers into his prison that he was at. And somehow he was able to escape from prison, and he was now free. He somehow found a change of clothes. Maybe some friends helped him. They found him in a motel in Texas. This prison was in South Carolina. So from South Carolina to Texas, he was a free man. Awesome. They found in his motel room 4 cell phones, 2 guns, a different identification, and $47,000 in cash. No idea how he found that money or where he got it. But they found him, poor Jimmy. Now he is in prison again. The search for freedom. This is an often quoted, people that don't even know the Bible probably don't even know where it's from. An often quoted phrase, the truth shall set you free. But what does it really mean? What does it really mean? Now, from a spiritual standpoint, what we're going to talk about today is not freedom as citizens of the United States. We have that freedom. But what Jesus is referring to is a freedom from sin and its power. The freedom from Satan and his deceptions in your life. The freedom, and I love this one, from guilt and the burden of guilt in your life. The freedom to, in a positive way, live for God. The freedom to serve Him. So when Jesus says, the truth will set you free, it is misunderstood many, many times. But today, we're going to talk about what it really means. Here's the question, what truth sets you free? What truth sets you free? Now, I'm going to try to keep it as simple as possible. It's still in 2 categories. And the first category of truth that will set you free, number 1, is your need. If you do not understand the truth of your spiritual need before God, you will never find freedom. If you come to God with the lie from Satan that you are fine, you don't need God's help and you don't need anybody else's help, you will never find freedom. If you come to God and say, God, aren't you proud of me because I am such a good person? I have arisen above every other person. And like that Pharisee in the temple, I thank you that I'm not like them, not like him. If you come to God with that spirit, with that attitude, you will never find his freedom, because freedom is first found in understanding your need before God. If you don't see that truth, you will never find the freedom. It's in 3 areas that Jesus points out. Number 1, without faith in Christ, you will die in your sin. This is a strong statement found throughout the New Testament. John 8, verse 21. Here's the words of Jesus. I am going away, and you will seek me, and you will die in your sin. Now, when he says you will seek me, he is not saying that they're going to spiritually want a relationship with God. What he's saying is, you're going to look for me physically. And here's the problem. You will die in your sin. And in the Greek language, it's very important for you to understand this. The word sin here is in the singular form. He's not talking about the long list of sins that you've committed, that I've committed. What he's talking about is a bigger problem that you need to see before you find freedom. Here's the bigger problem. We have a sin condition. We have a sin nature inherited from Adam. We have a sin problem. And if we don't deal with the sin problem in our life, the Bible says you shall surely die. And what he's talking about is not a physical death, though there is some implication there. But what he's talking about is a spiritual death, a separation from God, spiritual and eternal. Heaven or hell. You might think, well, wait a second, Pastor Phil, that seems a little strong. Well, Matthew 8:12 is pretty strong. It's the words of Jesus. If someone rejects Christ, they will be thrown into the outer darkness. In that place, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. You might think, well, that's kind of an obscure verse, maybe. No, it's found also in Matthew 22:13 and Matthew 25:30 and many other scriptures. The first truth that's going to set you free really is summarized in Romans 6:23. Listen closely. The wages of sin, did you see it singular? It's not plural. The wages of sin a condition of my life separated from God, if I stay there and I continue on that path, the condition of my heart will produce eternal separation from God. If you don't embrace that first truth, that you have a problem that separated you from God, a condition, if you can't accept that truth, you will never find true freedom. If you think you can earn your way to heaven, if you think you can be good enough to get God's approval, you will never find freedom with God. The second element of this truth about who you are, or who I am, is without faith in Christ, you cannot get to heaven. Okay? Verse 21, where I am going, listen to the words of Jesus, you cannot come. So now, Jesus teaches that there are two worlds. There's the world above, where God is, his presence, and the world below. And if you analyze what Jesus teaches, there's a radical difference between the two worlds, okay? When you analyze it, you will see that there is the world below, and it has a radical difference in its nature, what it's all made up and what it's all about. It has a radical difference in its source of where it's coming from, either from God's heart or from Satan, the enemy of God. It has a radical difference in its purpose. So what the purpose of this world is all about, to be comfortable, to get more, to compete, to be better than somebody else. And the purpose of the world above, it has a radical difference in who is on the throne. Jesus, by the way, is the King of Kings, and he is on the throne of the world above. Satan is the prince of the power of the air, the prince of darkness, and he is the king of this kingdom of darkness. There's a radical difference in the mode of operation of how you do things and what's important to those two worlds. So when Jesus says in verse 23, he's talking to the audience there on the Temple Mount, and he says, you are from below, the kingdom of this world, and I am from above, the kingdom of the presence of God. You are of this world, and I'm not of this world. Okay, so now, if you want to connect with God, you're going to have to realize you are not in his kingdom. As we come into this world, we have inherited a sin condition. We have inherited a problem that has separated us from God. And on our own effort, we're not getting there. Okay, 1 John 5:19, the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. Here's the truth that's going to set you free. Jesus is offering another kingdom. John 18:36, my kingdom is not of this world. A truth you need to understand. James 4:4, friendship with this world is enmity with God. So if you're going to get to heaven and get out of this world and this kingdom into his kingdom, in his world, where he is king, you're going to have to go through the king. And if you reject Christ, you cannot get to heaven. That's what Jesus is teaching. Where I am going, listen to Jesus, where I am going, you cannot come. I don't care how hard you try. I don't care how sincere you are. You cannot go where Jesus is going without Jesus. Okay. So now the third element of this truth is without faith in Christ, you will die in your sins. That's what it says, verse 24. Jesus says, unless you believe, there's that key ingredient there, unless you believe, that's believe in what? Believe in the truth about your need, you will die, that's eternally separated, in your sins. Now, did you notice now that word sin has changed? Now it's plural. It's plural. My sin condition has produced a sin lifestyle. And now my sin condition separates me from God, but now also, Jesus points out, my lifestyle separates me from God. And I need to do something different in order to find that freedom. Ephesians 2:1 says, you were dead in the trespasses and your sins. And he's talking about a spiritual deadness. He's not talking about physical life there. He's talking about your spiritual relationship with God is absolutely dead. it is not going to revive itself. Verse 33, this audience of religious, important people say back to Jesus, Jesus, you're talking about freedom here from sin. Let me just clarify. This spiritual group says to Jesus, we have never been enslaved to anyone. That has got to be one of the most ridiculous comments in the Bible, okay? The Jewish people have found slavery in Egypt. They found slavery in Babylon. They found slavery in Assyria. They found slavery in the Roman government overtaking them. They were standing in front of Jesus and they were slaves. And then they say to Jesus, well, we've never been enslaved to anyone. And guess what? Some of you in this room would say the same thing back to Jesus right now. Jesus, I don't have a problem. Why don't you go save somebody else? The problem of pride can well up within all of us to such a degree where we don't believe we really need what Jesus is offering. Verse 34, everyone who commits sin, this is the words of Jesus, is a slave to sin. Why do we need freedom? Because we are in bondage. Apart from Jesus, we all are in bondage to the sin choices of our life. We have a sin condition and we have a sin lifestyle. 2 Peter 2:19 says, whatever overcomes a person, to that he is enslaved. We're not talking about a particular behavior. We're talking about a lifestyle of bondage to doing the wrong thing. And guess what? We don't even see it. We're like a group of children that just had a bowl of ice cream with no spoon, of course, and our faces are an absolute disaster. And we think we're okay. We look at our heart and we think, I'm fine. Did you know that sin blinds your thinking process? We have this condition of sin. We have this lifestyle of sin, and it blinds us. We can say to a holy God, listen to this, a holy God, I don't have a problem. I can handle this all by myself. I don't need you. If I need you, I'll let you know. I love this one. I can stop anytime. Oh, really? How's that working for you? And then this one, I'm not really that bad. I mean, compared to somebody else that I know, I mean, really, you got to know about my friends. They're a lot worse than me, Pastor Phil. Okay, that's nice to know. But Proverbs 30, verse 12 says, there are those who are clean in their own eyes, but are not washed of their filth. If anybody's had a 4 or 5 year old boy come to the table at night, and after they said they washed their hands, you know what I'm talking about. I mean, the dirt is just all over their arms and all over their face and maybe a little bit of cleanness in the front of their hands. And they're standing there and they're sitting there and they're going, I'm ready to eat, Mom. And you're going, no, you're not. That's not clean. Amen here. Any moms want to say amen to that? So we stand before a holy, pure God and we say, I'm fine. We will never find freedom. Because the truth sets you free. The truth, number one, of your great need before God. Hebrews 2:3 asks this question, how shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? Jesus says, if you continue in this condition, you will perish. You will see everlasting, eternal separation from God. But there is another truth that I want you to hear this morning. And not only to know the truth of your need, but number two, the truth of Jesus. So when Jesus says the truth will set you free, he explains, first of all, the truth of who they are in their condition. And now he presents a truth that will set them free. Number one, Jesus came from heaven. He is one with his Father. His identity as the Son of God gives us an assurance and a power that will set us free. Verse 23, I am from above and I am not of this world. Now, why does that set me free? Because I, in my condition, I'm in bondage, and try to imagine yourself enslaved and surrounded by people who are in slavery to sin, and we are all in chains, we are all in bondage, we are all behind the prison doors, and I turn to you in with my chains and my prison condition, and I say to you, trust me, and I will give you freedom. And you say to me, set yourself free first, and then show me the way. Right? So when Jesus says, I am from above, what is he telling us? I am not in your bondage. I am not in your condition. I am not in your lifestyle. I don't have chains around me. I have a relationship with my Father. I am not of the world that you are living in. I am from the world that is above. And that gives me hope that someone who is outside of my condition, who is not in my slavery, who is not in my prison, can offer me then freedom. Verse 28, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he. And it's believed that that phrase, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, refers to the crucifixion of Jesus. So they would nail him to a cross because they had rejected him. And there was one at the foot of the cross when he saw Christ give his life, forgiving those that had done it. And the blinders came off, and you remember the words, truly, this was the Son of God. So Jesus says, when you lift me up on the cross, and it possibly includes the resurrection, where the crucifixion leading to the resurrection. He says, when this whole story unfolds in front of you, you will come to a place where you will know who I am. Because when you know who Jesus is, that he truly came from heaven, you will find freedom. Because someone outside of the situation is offering you freedom. And this is exactly what happened on the day of Pentecost. Peter is surrounded by the people that had crucified Jesus. And he declares, God, Acts 2:36, God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. And here we have find a fulfillment of what Jesus says in John 8. When you lift me up, leading to the resurrection, you will finally have your eyes opened. You will not only see your condition of what you did, but you will also see who I really am. Verse number 29, he who sent me, John chapter 8, is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do the things that are pleasing to him. If you analyze the Gospel of John, one of the studies you should do is to analyze the relationship that Jesus has with his heavenly Father. Let's just kind of give a quick review of this. John 1:18, Jesus explains God to us, God the Father. John 8, the Father bears witness of the Son. John 8:26, the Son listens to his Father. John 14, the Son knows the Father. John 8:29, the Father is always with the Son. John 8:38, the Son says what the Father says. John 8:29, the Son always pleases the Father. Micah 5:2, the Son is eternal with the Father. So if I'm going to listen to Jesus and he's promising me freedom, I have this confidence of truth that the one who is promising me freedom is coming from God himself. He is the one who is indeed one with the Father. And when he promises freedom, there is freedom indeed. Now, I could promise you freedom. I mean, you could quote me if you want. Hey, Pastor Phil says I'm a nice guy. And I think I'll get to heaven because I'm friends with Pastor Phil. And I'm going, really? You're gonna entrust your entire eternity because you're friends with another person? Really? Really? I was having a conversation with a couple of LDS gentlemen in my front yard. And I said to them, this is the difference. You are ready to entrust your entire eternity in the words of a man named Joseph Smith. And I want to tell you, My eternity is in the words of Jesus. He who sent me is with me. In other words, when I speak, I'm speaking from God himself, and I always please him. The second thing I want you to know about Jesus is that he came to save. Now, I love this about Jesus because we find his purpose is very clear. In verse 24, he gives us a window of hope. You remember he talked about dying in your sins, and he talked about, you're not going to find me. You can look for me. You're not going to find me. That seems very hopeless. That seems like, wow, we should just give up. I mean, this is nowhere. We're not going anywhere. We don't have a chance. There is not. It's not happening for us. Jesus, thanks for coming. Big downer. But no, a window of hope. Unless, I love that, you're sitting here this morning. If I knew every sin you committed, there would be shame to the rooftops in this room. Amen? Amen. But here's the window of hope. If you believe, Jesus says, unless you believe, this negative outcome is sure, unless you believe. Luke 19:10, the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. That's us. We are lost. Remember that? Spiritual need. You need to know this. The truth shall set you free. We are lost. We have no hope apart from this plan of God who loves us so much. Let me just review with you a verse that you know. John 3:16. For God, the one who is in the kingdom above, pure and holy, so loved the world. Which world? Listen closely. Two worlds, remember that? The world above, the world below. Which world is he loving? He's loving us in a world of sin and condemnation and hopelessness, sin condition, sin by lifestyle. We are in a mess. Who is he loving? He's loving the world. Us. This upside down world. God so loved us. If you're here this morning, you know the mess of your life. Guess what? God loves you. His love will never stop towards you. That he gave his only son, that's Jesus, giving of himself, leave the world of perfection of the throne above and come to the world below, upside down, full of rebellion and sin. Why? To give a message that whoever believes in him, whoever believes in him, Jesus, whoever believes in him, are you ready to do that today? Why should you do it? Because you have a need. The truth shall set you free. Should not perish. Three words of truth. You want the truth that'll set you free. Here's the truth. Without Christ, you have no hope. I want freedom from this world. You want some truth? If you follow Jesus, you will not perish. What a great hope. The hope this world desperately needs to hear. That without Christ, we have no hope. But with Christ, we have a promise. Should not perish, but say this with me, but have eternal life. The truth shall set you free, that Jesus came to save. I don't care if you're the worst of sinners. By the way, you're going to have to push the Apostle Paul to the side on that one, because he claims that label, but maybe you have some merit on that label. You believe you're the worst of sinners. He came to save you. Third teaching you need to hear of truth. He came to teach. teach. Verse 26, I declare to the world, which world? The world below, not the world above. He's talking to the world in desperate need of saving. I declare to the world that I have heard what I've heard from him. So he's speaking from God the Father from heaven. Verse 28, I speak just as the Father taught me. And then in verse 31, he says something very important. If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples. So if you want to receive freedom that Jesus is offering, the freedom of eternal damnation into eternal life, the freedom of this world, of the bondage of sin, into a freedom with God, you're going to have to abide in his word. Now, what does that mean? It means you're going to have to accept the truth of what Jesus teaches. When Jesus says something, you embrace it, not just kind of, not just with your emotion, but with your life. A disciple is a disciplined learner or follower. Verse 32, you will know the truth. Why? Because you've been abiding in his word. You've been abiding in what he says about our need, about our world, about our condition. And now you're going to live by it. You're going to abide by it. It's like you're going to take it into your life. It's not saying you're going to be perfect. It's not saying that you know every verse in the Bible. But it says, I am going to live by what God says about a situation, what God says about my condition, what God says about my life. And if I do that, and if I know his word, and I embrace it as my lifestyle, verse 32, the truth will set you free. Not your kind of truth. Oh, and not the truth you see on television or hear on talk radio. Not the truth that goes with the waves of emotion and the approval of people. Not the truth that makes you feel good or makes me feel good, but his truth into your life. One of the descriptions of a non-Christ follower is found in 2 Thessalonians 2:10. You might think it's no big deal, but 2 Thessalonians 2:10 says they refuse to love the truth, so be saved. There's no truth. You don't want God's truth, so you won't be saved. When you reject Jesus, you're rejecting the truth. That God is truth. And Jesus is truth. And God's Spirit is truth, and the Bible is truth, and salvation means you're going to come to the truth, and you're going to get victory over your sin because you're obeying the truth. You have an armor around you, and it's the belt of truth. And so when you live by faith in Christ, you're embracing truth. And I want to tell you, when you do that, the promise is you're going to be set free. You're going to be set free from the deception of Satan. You're going to be set free from the condemnation of sin in your life, from the bondage of sin. He came to set us free. And the truth will set you free. Now, one of the truth moments that you need to hear maybe today is that he came to make us sons and daughters. You remember, you were a slave because of the sin. You're a slave to the kingdom of darkness. And it says this in verse 34, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. Verse 35, the slave does not remain in the house forever. You see, in a house in the Roman context in 2,000 years ago, they would have slaves. The Bible doesn't encourage slavery. It just kind of admits the truth of it, that there were sons and then there were slaves. And the slaves might be treated well and they might have some merit there, but they're not going to really have an inheritance. They're really not going to carry the name of the family on. There's a temporariness of their stay, but if you are a son, you remain forever. So I want to tell you right now, here's the truth that will set you free. Would you like to leave the lifestyle of being a slave? Would you like to embrace the truth that will set you free? John 1:12 says, if you receive him, he will give you the right to become children of God. Galatians 4:5, that we might receive adoption as sons. Verse 36, Jesus says, if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Now, how do you get freedom? I'm going to break out on my own. I'm going to find some way to break out on my own of my problems. Okay, go for it. Try it. But that's not real freedom because you know they're going to be looking for you, right? Remember Jimmy? You remember Jimmy? They found him in Texas. It was probably a Motel 6, right? And they found it because they left the light on. That's the problem right there. So you can declare yourself free today. You can do it. I'm not going to stop you. Yeah, I'm free. I'm free to do what I want, be what I want. You can't tell me what to do. Great. Okay. That's not freedom because the bondage of sin is still in your heart. And nothing will set you free. Why? Because it doesn't have the power. Oh, but if the Son, Jesus, who paid for your sin on the cross and conquered Satan with the resurrection, declared power over death, if he opens the door to you, you will be free. Say it out loud. Indeed. No doubts. If you're here this morning, maybe you're a Christ follower and you forgot that truth. Maybe you've been living in the guilt of your past. Maybe you've been believing the lies of Satan. I'm going to tell you right now, there is freedom in Jesus. You are no longer a slave. You are an inherited joint heir with Christ. Listen, Romans 8:17. If children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ. I mean, you have just moved from the world below to the world above. You have just left the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of Jesus. And he, as the king, can declare that you are free. And by the way, only the Son can declare that. And he is the key. Come to Jesus and you will find your chains falling off. Charles Wesley wrote it like this. My chains fell off. My heart was free. I rose, went forth, and followed thee. Are you ready for those chains and that burden to fall off? Pilgrim's Progress, written a long time ago, best-selling book. If you haven't read it, you need to read it. Had a picture of this man, was called Christian, and he comes with this heavy burden. He's carrying it. He doesn't know how long he can carry it. He comes to the foot of the cross, and he cries out for help. And in the book, the burden on his back rolls off his shoulders. Now, you got to see this very crucial moment in the book. It rolls off his shoulders down the hill and into an empty tomb. And you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Lord God, thank you for the power of these words today. If there's someone in this room that has been carrying the burden of sin and guilt, regrets, and heartache, may this moment be a moment in time where they reach out by faith and accept the promise of freedom and forgiveness and newness through Jesus. Lord God, I pray for Christ followers in this room that have walked in the bondage of the past way too long. For by your grace, we are saved. May we walk out of this place with a new level of understanding of freedom. Lord God, may we speak truth to one another. May we give hope to one another that in Christ there is true freedom. There is freedom indeed. We thank you in Jesus' name.